Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. I'm asking in this video why the Benin coup failed. Because on the 7th of December, there was an attempted military coup in the Republic of Benin and it was bested. There'd been a successful coup d'etat in a nearby West African country only the month before. Now, in this millennium, coup d'etats in African countries became less common, and people thought that by 2010 Africa was really moving out of that, because shortly after decolonization in the 1960s, coup d'etats became frequent. By the 70s, governments were falling like ninepins all across Africa, and it was Benin's neighbor Togo which had the first coup d'etat in the post-colonial era, barely a year after independence from France. But since the end of COVID lockdowns, there have been successful coup d'etats in several African countries: Burkina Faso, Guinea, Niger, Sudan, Mali, Gabon, and so on. The regimes that have come to power are mostly anti-Western. They've often been hailed by Moscow. I don't think Russia has much to do with it, though. This coup d'état against President Talon failed where others have succeeded, but I'll come to the reasons later on. So President Talon was due to stand down in 2026, having been in office for about 10 years. There was a coup plot earlier this year that was unmasked in January, and the two plotters were awarded 20 years in prison apiece. And the constitution was amended by the National Assembly in November 2025, so just before the attempted coup, and that was to prolong the presidential term from 5 years to seven. A Senate was due to be established, with most of the senators appointed by the president, and all erstwhile presidents would be ex officio senators. Some people say Talon was attempting to perpetuate his power. But soldiers at Camp Togbin, I hope I pronounced that correctly, in Fidjros, decided that they were going to oust President Talon, and it was Lieutenant Colonel Pascal Tigri was the brains behind the coup d'état. He's a special forces officer. He distinguished himself fighting against Islamist insurgents in the northern part of the country. Partly so soldiers, they were discontent over a number of reasons: salaries, conditions. They felt they had insufficient support to fight against the rebels in North Benin. Anyway, it was 2 o'clock in the morning that the coupsters, they went ahead with their plot, going to the house of the director of the military cabinet, attempt to kidnap him, failed to do so, shot dead his wife. And this alerted the government. So the president and his supporters found out something was afoot. So really, they started cocking up straight away. And the thing is, they didn't have the top brass on board. They only had middle-ranking officers, so not to order large units to do this or that. I mean, perhaps some of the soldiers were simply following orders and didn't even know it was a coup d'état. When you are given an order, you just got to obey it and not ask why or what are we doing, what's the ultimate purpose. You know, yours not to reason why, yours just to do and die, as Lord Dennis Tennyson said. And there's not time to explain, it's not up for debate. But there were some loyal Beninese army officers, and they asked for soldiers at Camp Togma to uphold the constitutional order to fight against the coup d'etat. And a general went there in the middle of the night, saying, we've got to defend the president. He was beaten up and even taken hostage. So hundreds of soldiers are mutinying. But the reasons for the mutiny appeared not to be in a desire to overthrow the government, but more limited aims about their conditions of service and their salaries. So President Talon was clearly in trouble, but he was down but not out. So he requested military aid from Nigeria, which is immediately to the east, and even from the former colonial metropolitan, France. Don't think France got any forces in the region now, but until not so many years ago, France had troops stationed in its quondam colonies with the agreement of the governments there. But the Nigerians sent forces to uphold the rightful governor of Benin, although not for a few hours. Because Benin, Nigeria, I think Guinea, the Ivory Coast, and so on, or Côte d'Ivoire, several countries in that region are a member of ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States. They're Francophone and Anglophone countries. So ECOWAS has got this military standby force to help in precisely such a situation. And by 5 a.m., some of the National Guard soldiers, who are coupsters, they attack the presidential palace. But they'd already lost the element of surprise. The Republican Guard are defending it and fended off the attack successfully. The President and First Lady were there. Now, as they were aware that a coup was going on, what do? You stay in the palace? They're going to come for you. Can you trust the Republican Guard not to turn against you? Do you go into hiding? But they chose to stand and fight. There's a 45-minute gun battle. There are at least two casualties on the presidential side and a certain number on the Kusa side. We don't know. The Kusas had not carried the day. They broke off the engagement and they fled from near the presidential palace down to the lanes to the national TV station. There's more firing there. They took over the TV station, and that's when the coup was announced. But there's eight soldiers in combat fatigues and so on in their helmets, saying that President Patrice Talon has been deposed with immediate effect, and so on. That was going on in Cotonou, fighting all over Cotonou. Okay, so the top brass, if he didn't go along with the coup, and Lieutenant Colonel Pascal Tigri, if I got that right, pronunciation of his name, he's the one who announced that Talon had been kicked out, but really he hadn't. He said the constitution would be held in abeyance, and so on. And there were the military committee for refoundation. Refoundation of what? I suppose the Republic. So the Military Committee of Refoundation for Refoundation gave their reasons for seizing power, and they said that Talon was nepotistic. I mean, what most politicians are, he's mismanaging the country. He was negligent his duty to the armed forces. He had failed to defeat the Islamist insurgents. He wasn't providing adequate funding to medical care. He's raised tax. He had abridged civil liberty. Complaining that people abridge civil liberty is a funny thing to accuse people of when you're about to suspend the constitution. But the TV signal was suddenly cut off. Presumably, the government said, we can't get our own message out. We're going to stop them controlling the narrative, and so on. So, a lot of military vehicles around the city centre in the small hours, choppers flying everywhere, and it's unclear who was doing what. But the soldiers supporting President Talon, they retook the TV station by 8 a.m. and eventually started broadcasting real news. So there's fighting all over the city, especially by the port. The casualties figures don't seem to be very high. Often it's firing, but nobody gets shot. But I mean, at least several people were killed, maybe in the dozens wounded. I know that's bad, but considering there were at least a few hundred soldiers on each side, it could have been much higher. So pro-government soldiers very much secured the area around the presidential palace. Talon. They were able to announce that Talon is safe and he's free. So he's not dead and he's not been captured by the Custers. So the Military Committee for Refoundation had said that they sealed the border and all political parties were dissolved, but they didn't control the border at all. So Talon supporters put out the message that, yeah, he's there, but he's in hiding, not saying he's in the presidential palace or not. But forces loyal to the legitimate government were taking back control. There was even a rumor that Talon threatened the French embassy. I don't know if that's true or not, because then he would at least be safe. He'd still be in Benin in a sense and able to come out when the situation was secure. Might have been a good idea. So the foreign minister told foreign journalists there was an attempted coup, but the government was defeating it and so on. And he assured his auditors the soldiers were still following orders, and some of them were. Their message was on the radio that the government was winning and they were closing down those Custer pockets of resistance. And they were gradually overcome, calling upon the Custers to surrender. And they will be treated mercifully. The Nigerian Air Force, and they flew some sorties to Cotonou. They bombed the rebel strongholds like that Camp Togba, killing some of the Custers there. And the Nigerian ground forces, they helped the Beninese army to defeat the Custers. So there's the first time Nigeria sent troops abroad since a similar operation in Gambia back in 2017. Now, Paris said that the France had helped with surveillance and logistics, that is listening in, I don't know, the satellite images. What is it, geolocating the rebels? France obviously has got intelligence officers and agents in Benin, some with French citizens, some not. So Talon's got a decent relationship with France, and France has got no wish to see a military junta come in, which presumably would be more hostile to France. But interestingly, the Custers didn't say this is about Western influence, that they're a problem or something like that, as has happened in other places. Okay, and all those coups in Francophone Africa in the last few years have been bringing to office governments which are anti-French. But anyway, by 11 o'clock in the morning, the coup was all over. So 14 people arrested on suspicion of attempted coup d'etat. Several hundred soldiers seem to have been involved. Some of them seem to have changed into mufti and simply melted into the civilian population. Tigray, I don't think he's located yet, but some people suggest it's then turned out he went into Togo. I don't think he's been under arrest. So the Beninese Minister of the Interior was able to say, yeah, coup's definitely been defeated. Talon can address the nation and so on. Well, that night, ECOWAS published a communique saying, yeah, we're sending troops from all ECOWAS countries to help secure the rightful government. The coup has been crushed. So the president was able to thank loyal troops and ECOWAS allies. So they found caches of weapons that the Custers had stolen from army arsenals or whatever, armories hidden, and life in Cotonou's got back to normal. So the Republic of Benin is issued arrest warrants for these for the coasters. Some arraigned before the Special Military Court. Red notices issued to Interpol for those who skip the country. There are checkpoints all over. So everybody has hailed the defeat of the coup. The United Nations, the African Union, ECOWAS, even Moscow. Now that is opportunistic as best. It's been behind so many other coups in a small way. But they voiced their satisfaction that constitutional government has been prevailed. No doubt, had it succeeded, they would have applauded it. Now, Nigeria has suffered military regimes before, but Abuja has expressed its pleasure that democracy has been saved. And one of the candidates for the upcoming presidential election, Kemi Sabah, was arrested on suspicion of involvement in the coup d'etat. Now, he's outspokenly pro-Putin. And when the coup was on, he fulminated in favor. He must be eating his words. But even the Democrats, the chief opposition party, they excoriated the coup. Thomas Boni Yayi, he's a former president and member of the party, and he published a statement during the coup backing the rightful president. So, we disagree politically, but we do agree on democracy. We're going to have only peaceful transfer of power, no more coups. So they're pro-government demonstrations. Well, the coup failed. You ever read The Dogs of War by Frederick Forsyth, that British journalist who was a British author, as a journalist who covered the Biafra War, the Nigerian Civil War, 1967 to 70, but studied African coups a lot then. And he said he wrote The Dogs of War, his novel about a coup by British and American mercenaries in a fictive West African former British colony. And he said, well, really, the lessons are come by night, come by sea, if you're not landlocked, and strike quickly and decisively. You've got to kill the president. If the president's alive, people might be loyal to him, right? Say, well, I better be on his side, so I'll get rewarded if we win. I'll be punished if we lose and I'm on the coup's side. But once the president's dead, there's no one to be loyal to, and there's no one to punish you for joining the coup side, and there was no obvious leader on the government side. So you've got to do that. You kill the president, you maybe seize whatever the radio station or the TV station to get your messaging out, maybe to close down a telephone exchange. That's old news. We don't have telephone exchanges, but you maybe cut off telephones so people can't communicate, possibly the airport. And also, if it all goes wrong, you can get out of there. You can't secure the borders because you've only got a few dozen people involved. That every time you bring one more person to the conspiracy, there's a chance that he's an informer or he blurts it out or whatever. So you can't have too many people involved. So but do it in the middle of the night. By the time you wake up, it's all over. It's fait accompli. You've won. Okay. But they didn't do that. They went for the wrong targets. They started screwing up immediately. They were okay, they secured the TV station, but then they lost control of the narrative and so on. So they didn't achieve surprise. There were disgruntled soldiers behind the coup. They didn't seem to have widespread support. They didn't tap into popular discontent. And there are complaints about the president. So no outside government seems to back them. It wasn't the top ranks of the army, because they could have commanded thousands of soldiers and not just a few hundred. So the army didn't move as one. So the idea that Talon was stealthily establishing a dictatorship didn't resonate. The unhappiness with the way things are going in Benin is not severe. It's not like there's an economic crisis or something like that. They didn't stand for a clear ideology. So it was disorganized. The coup went off half-cocked. The president's loyalists were able to get their act together and so on, were able to summon in support. So, yeah, no more. The African Union since 2000 has said, no more coup d'etats. And for quite a while, they seem to have been successful. The coup d'etats in the 60s and the 70s often had foreign governments orchestrating them, the USSR, the USA, France, Britain, way back in the 60s, even Belgium, with the Cold War playing out in Africa. But after 2000 happened way less. Africa was lifting out of poverty. Democracy was solidifying. The Cold War was over. Western countries started to lose interest in Africa. The United States and European countries being preoccupied with the Middle East after 9/11, as China became more influential. Beijing was happy to support the cruelest tyrannies, but they didn't really want to see coup d'etats. I mean, continuity is their watchword. They want their Belt and Road Initiative. They don't want anything that jeopardizes that. Building roads, ports, railways, airports, debt trap diplomacy. That was it. Okay, so maybe governments have got the upper hand in terms of intelligence these days because they can just find out what everybody's saying. So yeah, there we go. I mean, that Dogs of War novel by Forsyth, it takes its name from that line by Shakespeare, cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war. And from that same line, there's Cry Havoc about the Wonga coup, the title of that book by the late Simon Mann, that SAS officer who attempted that coup d'etat in Equatorial Guinea in 2004, which didn't get going. They didn't even get to Equatorial Guinea, arrested all in Zimbabwe. That's it. Incidentally, if you ever think about Benin City is in Nigeria, not in Benin, because that historic kingdom of Benin was divided by the British and French between them, actually initially the Germans and the British, because Benin and Togo were German colonies at the end of the First World War. Benin are the Benin Brasses, a kingdom which had slavery and so on, and obviously Britain liberated Benin, ended slavery and so on, and made life a lot better for them. But I'm glad the coup has been defeated. Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate at PayPal, georgecannon7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.